Welcome to episode 31 of Practical Defense, Hurricane Preparedness with Bonnie Gage, part 2. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. In this episode, we pick up where we left off with episode 30 and our discussion with Bonnie Gage and hurricane preparedness. Last time we went over the basics of the survival kit, and this time we go over how to handle children, odds and ends, and some misconceptions about what happens during and after an event. And here's the discussion. So the next thing we want to talk about was kids and kids strategies.
Kids strategies, because the kids really don't understand what's going on. Whenever we went through our most recent hurricane, we had 5 kids in the house between the ages of 6 and 13. And the 6-year-old actually started crying because his mother couldn't change the weather.
Oh.
I thought that was really cute. angry with her.
Yeah, kids do attribute godlike abilities to their parents.
Yes,
maybe at a young age. At a teenage, it goes the opposite direction. But
yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'm so proud of my tweens and my teenagers that came to stay with me. But anyway, for the most part, the kids don't understand the severity of their situation. And as a result, they don't know how wasteful they're being in terms of your supplies, your water, which is a huge deal. So we developed some kid strategies that worked really well during our last hurricane. And the first thing we did was develop a snack drink rule. The kids were never not allowed to get a snack or a drink. They could get a snack or a drink anytime they wanted. However, they had to finish it right then in the kitchen before they moved on to anything else. Because what we noticed, the first thing that happened was the child would get a drink, take 2 sips of the drink, set it down, and walk away. And with 5 children doing that, soon when they came back to get their drink, it was either A, hot, and they didn't want it anymore, or B, it was so jumbled in with everyone else's drink that they didn't know which one was theirs, so, well, let's just throw it away and get a new one. My cousin and I, we were the moms in the house, and we said, oh, no, we're not doing this. We need to make a rule right away, otherwise we're going to run out of everything. Because this isn't a Sunday picnic, this is a hurricane, and we've got to make these supplies last for several days. So, it worked out really well, and the kids were very accommodating, and it cut down on them coming back and forth into the kitchen foraging for things. Because they knew that when they came in, they were going to have to sit down and finish whatever they had. Also, we made our kids eat in the kitchen, because if a child has got a snack running through the house, dropping crumbs all over the floor, you are inviting bugs into your house. Bugs want refuge from the storm, too. And they're also hungry. And it's not my job to feed bugs because bugs don't pay rent, in my opinion. So we kept that food where it belonged, in the kitchen, and it really helped in terms of vectors not coming into the house and invading the house in other places.
Okay, I'm going to come off on a little tangent there.
Oh, go for it.
Did you have problems with rodents and other critters crawling in?
We did a little bit. There were beetles, just things that wanted refuse, and things that I didn't realize could get into my house were getting into my house. What's funny is my aunt, my cousin's mother, was with us as well, and she brought her coffee pot because I didn't have one anymore. And I moved the coffee pot on the counter, and a cockroach crawled out from underneath it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, whoa, hold on. Let me take care of that sucker right now.
So your problem was mostly with insects and not furry creatures?
Yes, and we didn't have a problem with furry creatures, but I really felt sorry for them. We didn't. Because, you know, when you have a big storm, wherever the rats are, they're going to come out.
Yeah.
And you'll see them standing in the street with their little furry wet bodies shaking and stuff. I don't have any sympathy for that. I don't want a rat in my house. However, we had a squirrel's nest in our tree outside, and this was the evening of the storm, and things were just kind of start to getting gusty, and we're outside and we're talking to our neighbors, and a huge gust of wind shook our front yard tree, and we heard this thwack, 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 and it was kind of dusky, so we had to look around. We're like, what the heck was that? It was a squirrel's nest, and there were two little bald baby squirrels on the ground screaming. I had no idea squirrels could scream. Did you know squirrels could scream?
I never really spent any brain cycles
really
on
it. But they sure were. And Mom was still in the tree, so we thought, you know what, we need to step back from the situation and let Mom come get those kids. So we went inside the house so that she could recover her little baby squirrels. I thought that was really interesting. But no, we didn't have a problem with rats or anything coming into the house.
Because even here in the city, we have problems with skunks and raccoons going through trash cans on trash night. I can only imagine what would happen, you know, after a hurricane or major earthquake.
Yeah, mostly it's the bugs and the rats. And also, anytime you have flooding, people don't really talk about this, but you get snakes will crawl up into your car engine. Have you ever heard of that?
No. No, but they go up there for warmth and to get off the wet ground?
To get off the wet ground, to seek shelter, and then later on you don't understand why either you have a problem with your car or you freak out because a snake crawls out from underneath your car. Okay, is tangent over with?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. So anyway, we got the drinking and the snack roll. That worked out really well. And our second kid strategy that we did was, we gave those kids a job, because, you know, a child will look at you very quickly, moms very quickly, and go, I'm bored. Well, I just reverted back to something my mother did with me when I was a kid. If I said I was bored, I had to clean something. So I said, you know what, I'm going to use that strategy. And as soon as a kid came to me and said, I'm bored, I gave them a rag and a spray bottle with just water in it, and I made them go clean things. And oddly enough, they didn't come back.
Really?
I don't understand. I got to the point where if I saw a kid, I would give him a job. So I was just drunk with power. And we made the oldest ones really kind of buck up and be responsible. The oldest children, we had two 13-year-olds in the house, and they were responsible for making sure that the little ones didn't get into things that they weren't supposed to get into, making sure that the little ones didn't break the rules in the house and go running around with drinks and snacks. And they took that job very seriously. I was very proud of them.
Excellent.
Yeah, but the best thing that worked was as soon as a child said, I'm bored, they got to do work. And oddly enough, that put them in a situation where they were using their own critical thinking skills, and they invented games for themselves to do. the board games became more interesting, and which is my next kid strategy, is consider games, consider puzzles, consider coloring books. We had Legos, and we put them out on a blanket. And the kids played with the Legos on the blanket, and whenever it was time to put the Legos away, we just scooped up the blanket and put it away. It was very, very, and it was a lot of fun. They enjoyed it. We also gave our kids a shoebox and some scissors and some tape and some popsicle sticks, and we made them make us a puppet show.
Oh
and with colors, of course, to color their puppets, but they made us a puppet show, and then whenever it came time for the family to sort of gather around and eat dinner, and because it was getting dark, they performed a puppet show for us, and they loved it because, you know, that's lots of focused attention for them.
Excellent. Was there any crying or whining about not having Nintendos or things like that, things that required power?
A little bit, but that passed very quickly, and I think that goes back to giving the kids a job. Because I felt like if you really want to do something, I've got something for you. So there was a little bit of missing the Xbox, missing the game systems, but after they got over that, they found other things to do. So
They discovered the great outdoors, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Definitely difficult to keep kids inside whenever, even if it's raining, and if there's a hurricane outside, they just wanted to be out in it. That was a problem, too. We kind of had to convince them, no, let's wait until everything's over. Let's wait until the rain stops, and then we'll all go outside, and we'll start cleaning up, yeah. Which they weren't excited about.
Was there a problem with safety and debris in the backyards and letting kids out and play?
Yeah, because, you know, roof shingles, fallen branches, other pieces of debris that get flown around. Whenever they went out, we had to make sure that they were wearing their shoes and that they were appropriately dressed. The last thing that we did, and this helped with preserving the flashlights because the kids want to play with the flashlights at night. After it was dark outside and after we had dinner, we might do one activity like a game or like we did a puppet show, and that was it. It's time to go to bed. The kids are going to be up at first light anyway, and there's a curfew for the city. Most cities during a hurricane will have a dusk till dawn curfew. I think Houston had a 9 p.m. till 6 a.m. curfew. You're going to need your sleep. You really are. So what we did was we just made all the kids go to bed as soon as it got dark, and that worked out really well too.
Speaking of sleeping, did you still have designated nap times and things like that, even for the adults perhaps, to take a break, siesta?
No. It's funny you should mention that because it really felt like about the three to five hour kind of felt like a siesta, and a few of the adults would go and take naps during that time. But no, we didn't have a designated nap time, but I think that would have been something to consider. What's funny is it was really easy to convince the kids to go to bed because it was dark. There's nothing to do. They couldn't look at anything. So without that external stimulation, they just went right to sleep.
So no TV, no games, no lights, nothing to do.
Nothing. Just like yesteryear. This pioneer days, there's literally nothing to do. So they just went right to bed. And that's all my kids' strategies. I'm sure there are more out there. I'm sure there's other good stuff to do. But that's what we did, and it worked really well.
Well, that's good to know.
I also made a list of common mistakes and misconceptions that I see people do. I've seen my own family be guilty of these things. So I made a list of things that you don't want to do during or before a hurricane. So you want to hear those?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. I see people sometimes stock their freezers before a storm, and that's really not the best thing to do because that stuff is going to go bad anyway. And we're in the summertime, unlike your family who was stuck in, you know, in an ice storm and still lost food. We're in the summer, and things are going to go bad even faster. The day after a hurricane, everybody barbecues. Everybody's out cooking that perishable food so that it doesn't go bad. So that you've never eaten so much or so good until the day after. It's like holiday time. We had bacon-wrapped fillets that we had in the freezer. Our neighbors down the street had steak. You know, my sister showed up at my doorstep with more chicken than you can reasonably eat in a year. It was, I think we're still eating chicken.
Wow.
Ugh. So that stuff, you got to get it. You're going to cook it on your camp stove or on your grill. Also, we do something in the military called pre-execution checks. We didn't use our grill last summer, and we've discovered during this hurricane that the bottom of our grill had rusted out. So for my future references, always check your equipment and make sure that it's functional, because we let our grill sit out last year and we didn't use it. The whole bottom just rusted out. We can't use it.
And you do that in June before hurricane season starts.
Yes, you do. At the beginning of the season is when you start all this preparation. A common mistake that I see is people wait too long to pick up that ice to put in their coolers so that they'll have a place to put those perishable items like milk and sandwich meat and that sort of thing after they lose power in the refrigerator. It's not expensive. If the hurricane ends up not hitting you, you haven't lost anything. But if it does hit you, you're going to be missing that ice. It's because all the stores are going to run out of ice first, even before gas. I thought that was really interesting that the stores ran out of ice before they ran out of gas, because everybody went out and got ice at the same time.
Yeah, and ice, they keep a much smaller supply of ice than they do of gas.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing I saw was that some people have water delivery companies that bring them water, like Ozarka and that sort of thing.
Other brands are like Sparklets, yes, and Arrowhead, yes, and some of the, yes, Nationals.
Don't trust your water delivery company to come and bring you water right before the storm. This happened to my sister. She called them 3 times to confirm, you're going to bring me my water, you're going to bring me my water. And they left her at the altar. And she was stuck. And I don't understand why she didn't think of this, but you can take the 5-gallon jugs that are empty and you can fill them with your tap water as a temporary fix if you don't have anything else.
Yeah,
and I think that's what she was doing.
Yeah, before the storm hits, before the water becomes potentially contaminated.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because after the storm is not the time to fill those jugs with water.
Yeah.
Unless you were asking for all kinds of dysentery.
Yeah. But I mean, the water delivery companies, the people that work there, that drive the trucks, they have their families too. They're people, and they're not like the military that are bound by service and oath. They're just regular guys, and they can say, you know what, this job isn't worth it. I'm going to take care of my family first.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're much more likely to not follow through on those types of promises versus military or some other, civil service.
Yep. And the other thing I don't do is, or that I recommend that you don't do, is don't allow your gas tank to go too much below halfway during hurricane season. If there is a hurricane in the North Atlantic that's even looking at my town funny, I keep my gas tank full, because the lines around the gas pumps they'll wrap around the block in a ridiculous display of unpreparedness. And you can either be one of those people that's frustrated and sitting in line and running out of gas while you're sitting in line, or you can be one of the people that has a full tank of gas and is waving and laughing as you drive by. I like to be the latter.
Happy person running the car with,
exactly,
the air conditioning turned on.
Exactly. So, As soon as there's a hurricane out there, fill up your gas tank. Don't wait. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just better not to wait. It's one less thing that you have to worry about. I have a pretty long commute. I commute 3 hours a day back and forth to work. So it was really interesting to me to fill my tank for the last time and then to kind of watch the town as I drove through it. The gas stations just start to fill up and the lines just start to wrap around because it seems like the whole city went and got gas together. I thought that was funny. And then they all ran out. There was no more gas. So, and then of course you've got evacuation traffic and those guys need to fill up their tanks. So it's just better. For me, it was just better to get out of the way and to stay home. You don't need to be driving around, which is my last do not. Don't go driving around during or just after the hurricane. Oh my God, Alex, my sister did this. I could have killed her. And we had a huge problem with this in our city. People wanted to see what the storm had done, and the storm hadn't even passed yet.
Oh.
And people were out trying to drive around. And I thought it was really funny because our mayor actually, made an announcement and they played it over and over on the radio. He said, "People, get in your houses. What are you doing?" Let me tell you something else too. My sister's out driving around right after the hurricane, and she just drove everywhere. She drove all the way to her job, which she commutes an hour as well. She drove
an hour.
Yes. And then later she complained to me because she had no gas. She said, "Oh, I had to go driving around looking for gas." And I can't tell you how much pleasure I took in these words, "I told you so."
Oh, boy.
And that if you weren't out driving around during the hurricane and, driving around needlessly, maybe you would still have gas. Ooh, she didn't want to hear that. she wasn't ready for that. I told you so, but man, did I enjoy saying it.
And the other problem with gas is that there may be gas in the tanks, but if there's no power to pump it out, it's as good as not being there.
Yep, absolutely. And the whole city was without power, and not just our city, all the neighboring counties were without power as well. So that's something that I didn't even think about, but that's a very good point. So that's my last do not. The last thing that I have from my hurricane preparedness notes are kind of little things that people don't always think about. Things like if you have a young child that's in diapers, buy extra diapers and extra formula. And that should really go without saying. Most moms are very protective of their children in that regard, and they plan for that sort of thing. But not everybody thinks about, hey, I only have one package of diapers in my house. Am I going to be able to do what, you know, to take care of my child while the stores are being restocked? That's not something everybody thinks about. And I don't have young kids in diapers, but I do have two dogs. So one of the things that I went out and did was buy an extra bag of dog food so that I wouldn't have to worry about rushing to the store and fighting evacuation traffic to try to get extra food for my dog or to be able to feed my dogs.
Because food scraps, I guess, wouldn't necessarily be enough to feed, I guess, a large-sized dog, especially since there aren't going to be too many scraps.
True. And we didn't have any leftovers. There were no leftovers to feed the dogs. And, you know, a lot of little dogs, like I have a Chihuahua and a Minpin, their stomachs don't deal with table scraps very well. I don't want dog vomit in my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
To me, it was just worth it to buy the extra dog food and go ahead and keep them on their normal regime. Because I wouldn't want to take a chance to making my dog sick with table scraps and then having to deal with that drama.
Now, also the good thing about dog food is that it could also be human food in a worst case situation.
It's so funny that you say that. My cousin's husband said the exact same thing. Because they have a blue heeler that they brought with them and that they evacuated with them. And they brought a giant 5-gallon bucket of dog food for him. And the first thing that her husband said to me was that, hey, you know what? If we run out of food, we're going to eat this.
Yeah. Human and dog food are very compatible.
Yep. So I guess it'll keep you alive.
Yeah. It may not be tasty, but it's better than nothing.
Oh, my goodness. The other thing that I recommend doing before a hurricane is clean your house. After the storm, your home gets cluttered. Things get trekked in, leaves, and kind of like a muddy water. We actually had water coming in underneath our front door. We had to put towels and that sort of thing down. It makes the cleanup afterward a lot easier if your house was clean to begin with. So, because you're not going to be able to vacuum your floors for maybe a week, or you're not going to be able to wash your dishes. So I recommend doing all of your laundry, washing your dishes, vacuuming your house, because you don't know when you're going to be able to wash those clothes again. It makes it a lot easier if you don't have to worry about where you're going to get your clean clothes from that you're already good for the week.
Good point.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, you have to remember that everything around you is in chaos. And I don't know if this is kind of like a mentally calming thing. I know for women, or for me, I can go into the kitchen and if the kitchen is nice and orderly, I feel better. So I think it's almost like a psychological, like a comfort to be able to organize that, because there's so much chaos around you, but you've got your situation under control. You've got organization and order within your realm, your home or your bubble or whatever, and then outside when you step out into it, you see it's just chaos, but you've got that sort of comfort. And it was very important, especially during the storm, for me to keep things in the kitchen organized, because I felt like that I had control over that environment. Does that make any sense at all?
Mm-hmm. A lot of survival is mental. You know, if you don't keep your head and your comfort around you, it's easy to go downhill very quickly, and then everything else just collapses around that. People, they focus so much on the physical and don't focus on the mental aspects, and it could make the difference of a comfortable overlay for a couple of days or having the worst experience of your life and panicking.
Yes, exactly. It can also keep you from fighting with your family and friends and that sort of thing too, psychologically comforting yourself. One of the other things I recommend to do, and what's so funny is that I found some of the same stuff. I came up with this on my own. And then I found some of the same recommendations on other websites. So I thought, aha, I'm doing the right thing. I recommend that you cut your grass.
Okay, that's something I never would have thought of.
Yes, you need to cut your grass before the storm. You know what? You're going to be too busy cleaning up. You're going to be chopping up felled trees. You're going to be raking all the trash and stuff out of your yard. You might have water damage. You might have other stuff that you have to clean up. Cut your grass. That way you won't have to worry about it right after the storm, because you've got way too many other things to do. So, and we've done that for every storm that's come into our area, and it works very, very well to get that thing out of the way. And what's so funny is that the kitchen was the psychological comfort for me. Having the lawn and all that taken care of, that was kind of a psychological comfort for my husband. Well, because I guess, you know, that I had my thing and he had his. So I do recommend that you cut the grass. You will not regret it. Here's something else, Alex, that I bet you're not thinking about, is right before the storm, you need to take a shower.
Okay.
You're going to sweat, you're going to stink in the coming days, and you're not going to be able to take a good shower. So do your family a favor and start out clean. Take a shower.
For those close-quartered living environments,
yes, huh? Yes, close-quartered living environments. Plus, it gets hot, it gets sticky. You're gonna be wishing that you took a shower.
It sounds like you may have a little battlefield experience there.
Yeah. Yeah. 17 years of living in remote locations, you definitely need to take that shower and start out clean. Also, I've already gone over this. Make sure your coolers are full of ice. Make sure your gas tank is full. Even if the hurricane is looking at your town funny, don't wait. If you wait, you're gonna be regretting it.
Yeah, you are really set on this ice thing.
You have no idea how much I was missing my ice during this hurricane. I will never, ever, ever, never again allow the ice not to grace the cooler. Anyway. After you lose power, this is something that my cousin pointed out to me, because there was a puddle of water below my refrigerator, and it was from the ice maker.
Oh.
Take the ice out of your ice maker if you have one, because that ice is going to melt, and then you're going to have water on your floor. And somebody could slip in it, plus it's kind of messy. So take that ice out of your ice maker. And also make sure if you take prescription medications, make sure you have at least 2 weeks worth supply on hand, like blood pressure medications or heart medications or acid reflux medications. This goes along with your health and wellness, which is my other note, that you need to drink water, you need to eat appropriately, you need to wash your hands after you use the restroom or handling things outside of your home or dealing with the garbage, because the last thing you want is to get sick during a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
You're already miserable. Multiply it by about 50.
I've been with people that have gotten sick when we've been camping out in the middle of nowhere in Death Valley, and it wasn't fun for them at all.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine being in the house during a disaster with somebody who's got diarrhea, with somebody who's vomiting. That is drama that you don't need. It's just better to be preventative and to keep from getting sick. So. One of the notes that I made is consider some chewable vitamin C or some other kind of multivitamin to help boost your immune system. And the biggest thing and most important thing that you can do is to wash your hands. Wash your hands or clean your hands with hand sanitizer, which is part of your hurricane kit.
Yep.
Also, this is something my sister and I talked about, was that I noticed my neighbors, my son, before the storm, they got, I don't know if it's the barometric pressure change or what, but they had horrible sinus headaches. And it was almost like sinus flare-ups for them. So I don't know if that's a pressure thing or an allergy thing.
Yes, it is. Personal experience, I have chronic sinusitis and allergies. And when the pressure changes and a storm comes in, absolutely. I feel it hours before it hits in my head.
And that's exactly what my son and my neighbors went through. And also, a couple of my neighbors complained that they were constipated.
Interesting.
I've never heard that. That's a stress thing. It's probably a psychological reaction to stress more than anything else. But I think being aware of your body's reactions to stress will make you better equipped to deal with what's going to be happening around you. The other note that I have is for bugs. Vectors, they want refuge from the storm too. So, and I already talked about this with the kids' strategies. You got to keep that food where it belongs in the kitchen. Eating in other rooms in the house, especially the bedroom, is a mistake, in my opinion. It's going to invite bugs into your house. And the last thing you want is to have an unwanted guest in your bed while you're asleep.
Yeah.
There is just no feeling like it, being in bed and having a cockroach tickle your foot.
I won't ask.
Yeah.
I think the worst I've had is have coyotes sniff around my head when I'm out
camping. Oh, my God.
That's always a bad thing. When we go camping, we generally don't use tents. We just, you know, throw a tarp down, throw our bags down, and, you know, it gets cold, but not too bad at night. But, yeah, I've had friends that have lost their boots that they've kept by their head because coyotes come up and just run off with their boots. And we find them, you know, half mile away. Yeah, but never had, yeah.
Oh, man.
At least my tickling's been done by furry things, not by insects. I don't know which is worse, but I think I'll go with the furries.
And the last note I have is about hygiene. Just because it's a natural disaster does not mean you need to avoid being reasonably clean. So it's not a bad idea to have baby wipes on hand. And it doesn't mean you need to stop wearing your deodorant so that, you know, your friends and family will be able to be around you. And my husband actually used one of the buckets that we had set aside for flushing the toilets with. He put the water in the bucket. He used the bucket to take a little bath. And then afterwards, he used the water to flush the toilet. So a little soap and water go a long way, in my opinion.
And you don't have to do a full body wash. You can just do the what they call the PTA bath. Just the important parts.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, the rule of thumb for all of this stuff is company's coming and the hurricane, and you want to make a good impression. So you want to keep everything in order, and it will really, really help you during the recovery, which is the hardest part of the hurricane. Oh, I totally forgot about mentioning, I don't have it in my hurricane notes, preparing your home for a hurricane, because it's too big. So I sent you a link with the Weather Channel. It has a really good website on tips how to prepare your home for a hurricane. I think it's really interesting, the different things that people do. My father does the best thing, I think. Can I go ahead and tell you about it?
Absolutely.
Okay. He uses these things called plywood locks. You can get a bag of 20 of them for about $30.
Okay, I've never heard of those. What are they?
They're metal clips, and you use them to board up your windows so that you don't have to bore holes in the brick. And if you live along the Gulf Coast and you're going to be boarding up a lot, it's a pretty good option. If you're not going to do the storm shutters, or if you're not going to do my sister has actually storm windows, which are double paned. But my father doesn't have any of that. He uses ply locks. And it's only two per window. So basically, a bag of 20, unless you have lots and lots of windows, a bag of 20 is enough to do your home. And he cuts his plywood. I think he said a half an inch smaller than the window. And then he takes these clips and it secures the board in front of the window, and it keeps it from breaking. If somebody's shingle comes off their roof, it becomes a missile. Or if something breaks free from the yard, or we lost our back fence. So, you know, there were pieces of wood basically everywhere. And we had our neighbor's tree just kind of lay down on the house. Mm. And the fall was broken by the roof, so it didn't break the window, but it was leaning up against the window. So
isn't saying like the roof broke the fall of the tree sort of like my head broke the swing of the bat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped it with my head.
It's okay. I broke the fall with my neck. Yep. You gotta take the lesser of those evils. I couldn't even imagine what the inside of their house looks like after their roof was breached.
Yeah, with the water coming in and everything else.
Yep. Lots and lots of water damage. But I've seen also people put duct tape on their windows. And I did that once. I'll never do that again.
I'm certain it was very secure, but probably really nasty to peel off.
That is exactly why I will never do it again, because it is way too much work and you'll never get it all off. You have that, you know, that little bits of glue
in the
X pattern all over your windows. Yeah.
You know what works really well to get that residue off, especially glass and steel? WD-40.
Oh, cool.
That for some reason, whatever's in there helps break the bond of the glue. And it works really, really well to get glue residue off.
Awesome. I'll remember that. I'll remember that for next time, even though I'm still not using it.
Yeah.
I'm still not using tape on my windows. It's just too much work.
Yeah.
I'm way too lazy. No.
Totally understand that. Now, these plywood clips, those are actually strong enough to keep the wood from blowing off even when the wind breaks 100 miles an hour?
Yes. According to my dad, he swears by them, and all of his neighbors use the same thing. He didn't even know that they existed. One of his neighbors told him about it, and then he kind of went and did a little bit of research and went to the local hardware store and picked up a bag.
And, wow.
He said that they worked fantastic. I don't think, because the board is actually smaller than the window, I think really it's more to keep debris from breaking the glass than it is to if something had enough force, I think it might knock the window out, the whole thing out anyway.
But, well, if something's hitting that hard, not much is going to stop it.
They should have evacuated.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was just thinking, because he said there's a border around it. I was thinking maybe the wind could get behind there and catch it and rip it off.
No, he says that it won't come out. It's actually, I saw a picture of it on the internet. It looks like it's got little teeth and it grips onto the brick. He said you have to tilt it and you have to take them off with a screwdriver.
Hmm.
Very interesting. I had never heard of that before, but I will be investing in ply locks in the future because it seems like a little bit easier. And last time we boarded up, we ended up having to drill into the mortar. We don't want to do that again. And that's all my notes, Alex.
Well, that is absolutely plenty. And we really appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us.
Well, no problem. I was very, very happy to come on your show.
Yeah, and I one of the reasons why I asked you was I knew that because we do segments for another podcast together.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I knew you were not a stranger to the microphone. But no, we really appreciate it. It's great, great stuff. I'm definitely going to have to break this up into a couple of episodes because of the length, but it's definitely that somebody, everyone can use and learn from.
Yeah. And stuff that worked for me might not work. It's not foolproof across the board. Stuff that worked for me might not work for somebody else. They might have, but that's the fluidness of the list. You can take what you want and leave the rest behind.
Well, sure. And the best teacher is personal experience. And you have done this your entire life and just finished it with Hurricane Ike.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I got so tired of seeing those common mistakes out there and people unprepared, and which is what prompted me to make the notes in the first place.
Well, great. Again, really appreciate you coming on. It's been fantastic.
Thank you very much for having me, Alex.
Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.